From the KUNV studios in Las Vegas, you're listening to Our Metropolis, a weekly interview program with people who are changing the face of Las Vegas. And now, here is your host.
I am your host, John Katsalamidis of Greenspun Media Group. I am the one who writes the Cats Report multimedia column for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and Vegas Deluxe. Our guest this week is the Chief of Diplomatic Relations and Protocol for the Nevada Commission on Economic Development. Who and what does the office serve exactly? Here to tell us all about that is Gail Anderson. Thanks for coming down, Gail.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Let's open it up here. This is an intriguing organization, and yet people probably don't have any idea what and who it serves. So tell us, first of all, how it came to be.
Okay, how it came to be was I came from Orange County and was fortunate enough to get a meeting with Governor Miller. And I realized prior to coming here that there was not an Office of Protocol.
Mm-hmm. And why was that important to you?
That was important to me because I realized it was important to the state. Mm-hmm. I had done some research prior to moving here and realized that the surrounding states, Utah, Colorado, and Arizona, all had what is referred to as an honorary consular corps.
Okay.
And found out that Nevada had only four honorary consuls.
And why is that a deficient number for a state our size,
because,
or for any state for that matter?
Yeah, we're very fortunate, and I often get comments from people that are very familiar with the consular corps in other states, and they're very impressed that Nevada now has 22 countries represented here, because we have so many international visitors that mm-hmm. are coming here, and B, we have a very diverse culture now. There are so many different ethnic groups living here, and those honorary consuls that are posted here can assist those foreign nationals mm-hmm. that are here representing their country.
Act as a conduit between our state and their native country.
Their native country, right? Exactly. And California is host to the second largest consular corps in the United States, second only to New York. So there's about 120 countries represented in California.
Wow.
Each one of them have jurisdictions over certain states that their country has asked them to represent.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes have jurisdiction. One country can have jurisdiction as many as 13 states. So obviously they need some assistance. They can't cover mm-hmm. all those states. So if you have an honorary consul in that state, which they have jurisdiction, then they obviously can be of great assistance to that Consul General.
And so when you started to investigate this and set up the meeting with the then Governor Bob Miller, mm-hmm. we had four such people.
We had four such
people.
Four
honorary. And where? What?
And they really,
regions were they representing?
That
who was representing?
We had Germany, we had Italy, Ecuador, and at that particular time we had Mexico as an honorary. We now have Mexico as a career.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain that difference to you.
So that's an interesting collection of honorary consuls at the time. Ecuador, I'm wondering,
right,
on that list.
And he had been here for quite a while. And mm-hmm. he, long, of course, before I came here, but along with Germany. But if you compare Germany to Ecuador, Germany was extremely busy all the time because of the international visitors from her country.
Right.
Ecuador did a little business between Ecuador with some importing. He passed away. He was an amazing person, for one thing. But I would imagine he was probably more effective, rather than the trade, he was probably more effective helping those foreign nationals from Ecuador that are here.
Right. And so when you sat with Governor Miller, how did you sell him?
Well, he was wonderful. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, and Governor Miller is still very active in the community.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. And mm-hmm. he also actually is now the honorary consul of Bulgaria, which I'll share that story with you in a minute. Yeah, he's amazing, honestly.
Okay.
Well, I came in, and he was gracious enough to let me share my or just do a presentation. And at the beginning, he was a little not negative, but he wasn't very open-minded, I should say.
Skeptical, maybe?
Maybe a little skeptical. Who is she coming in here from, like, California?
Orange County.
From Orange County. But after about, I'd say, 5 to 10 minutes into my presentation, he unfurled his arms, which told me, oh, I'm making some headway.
That's but anyway, good body language. Yeah, good body language. From the governor.
Yeah. But he was wonderful. But what he said to me was, you know, I really like what you're saying. And he actually had hosted some consuls general from California on different occasions. And he said, I really like what you're saying. We're becoming such an international destination now for tourists. And we probably could use an office of protocol. But he said two things. I'm going out. I'm termed up out. Mm-hmm. So I'll be leaving in January. And also, I'd have to take this to the legislature in order to get this passed. And we just finished the legislative session. So I just looked at him and said, sir, you have to do none of the above to put me in a non-paying position. And he said, would you do that? And I said, yes. And so he said, well, then let's think about putting you under the Commission on Economic Development, and eventually maybe there would be a paying position.
Some funding provided for you.
Yeah, there. So that's how it all...
That was a real leap of faith for you. Why would you take this on without being paid for it?
Well, because I had done... That's actually how I started in protocol. I always say I earned my PhD because I did 4 years of volunteer work in the Office of Protocol in Orange County. I didn't plan it that way. It just happened. But I did a lot of volunteer work in Orange County. I was on the board of directors for the Performing Arts Center, the Opera Company, Children's Museum, and did a lot of fundraising. And so that came second nature to me. So I just responded that way, actually. It was impetuous
spontaneous volunteerism. Huh? So you get into place, you get into position, and you'd already established a template for how to do this in some way previously in Orange County, I take it. What's your first charge? What's your first move to start establishing this office?
Okay, well, first of all,
Nevada?
I had no desk and no chair and no computer.
Nor to be.
But I had a phone. And so I floated around in this office for about 3.5 months almost. But anyway, what I did was I got on the phone, and I knew that I wanted to start bringing the Consul Corps here. I did two things. Got on the phone to initiate bringing speakers here. And the first person I called was the former Prime Minister of Canada, who happened to be placed in Los Angeles as Consul General. That's just giving you an indication of how important that post is, and I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Which prime minister were we talking about?
Kim Campbell, Prime Minister of Canada. And after she served her short tenure as prime minister there, the government placed her in Los Angeles, because Los Angeles is an extremely important post. Either they've even served as ambassador. She's probably the first one, at least to my recollection or knowledge, that served as a prime minister of a country.
Right.
Prior to being a consul general. But anyway, we'd become friends, and I called her she was my first speaker. But then I also immediately got on the phone and called those four honoraries that were here.
Right.
And organized them. And
who was overseeing that group at the time before you stepped in?
I mean, no one. And they weren't.
Were they doing anything?
No. And I have a letter, which I probably should have shared with you, from the honorary consul of Ecuador, who sent a letter to the lieutenant governor, Lorraine Hunt, after the change. And he thanked her for allowing to establish this office, because they had been here for X amount of years and never had any recognition or never any organized
No formal
person.
Direction.
Yeah, no. Right.
No formal meeting, it sounds
no,
like.
No,
never
no,
met
no,
together.
They never met. So I said to them at that particular first meeting, and they were so wonderful and so congenial and so receptive, and I said, well, we are going to grow this consular corps. I'm going to do my best to reach out to grow this consular corps from four to as large as we can get it. And now
Did you have a number in mind specifically, or a collection of countries, a short list of countries that you needed represented?
Well, no, but I figured that I figured we needed countries like Japan, like the UK, and I have a list of the countries with me. But what I did was, I was also fortunate enough to have met and worked with Summer Hollingsworth from NDA. So in order to start this process of growth for the Honorary Consular Corps, you first have to reach out to the country in LA, starting there, to say, I would like to have an honorary consul in Nevada as an extension of your consulate. And sometimes they would say yes, and sometimes they would say no. Mm-hmm. Once they would say yes, then I would reach out at that particular time, and still do, to Summer Hollingsworth to say, could you please recommend someone here to be nominated the honorary consul for? I'm going to use the UK right now.
Okay.
That wasn't
right.
My first one, but
mm-hmm.
he knew somebody from the UK.
Okay.
And for the UK. So then what has to happen is I get the bio, I send it up to the consulate, to the consul general, to review. If he likes it, then he calls a meeting with that person. Either they go there or the consul general comes here. He interviews. He could say yes or no. If he or she says yes, then it's that bio or resume is sent on to the embassy, to mm-hmm. the embassy in Washington.
Washington, D.C.
The ambassador reviews it. If he or she likes it, it is now sent on to the country and to the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Uh-huh.
And if that person accepts that resume, it is then forwarded back to the embassy, and then from the embassy to the State Department. So it's could be rejected at the State Department.
At that point, it could be rejected at any step along the way.
Step, exactly.
And it sounds like even if it isn't rejected, it takes a terrifically long time to get this person approved.
And at the beginning, it did, because the State Department actually was a little hesitant, because Nevada had not been aggressive at all in mm-hmm. getting honoraries
there. Well, they didn't
have an office. Yeah. So, but fortunately, I knew and still do know some of the personalities that work with the State Department, so I was very fortunate. So mm-hmm. when I called, they knew me, so I wasn't just like calling out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
So that helped. So then I just started reaching out more and more into the community and to the consuls general, asking them if we could, continue. And that's how it happens. Now, the most interesting part of this is the honorary consuls are not paid. They do not get paid.
So where do you, Gail, find the pool of these potential ambassadors from their countries? I mean, where do you look for somebody who would physically have to move themselves to?
No. The honoraries are all here.
They're all living in our
state.
All right.
Some of them, and most of them, I should say, not some. Most of them have had some business dealings with the countries. Some of them had come from the countries.
So you're looking inside out rather than
they're all from here. We're growing them all.
Okay.
Growing the core all from here. So they're all either business people or they have some interest in the country that they can do business, and then they in turn can make some money on that particular deal because they're the direct resource now into the country.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so they've established that connection already for you.
Exactly.
So you were serious when you asked if I wanted to be the Greek consul.
Well, that's right, because you're Greek, so we don't have a Greek honorary consul here.
Which I think is tragic. I'll talk to my people about this.
Yeah.
But still, it would seem to be a need. It's a major European market.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, yeah.
Yeah, and the Greek consul general is, I mean, I work with all those consuls general in L.A. I mean, mm-hmm. and I bring them here, and I set up appointments for them with, always working in conjunction and cooperation with the honoraries if mm-hmm. it's from their particular country. But we have 22 countries represented now, so we have another 70 plus that have jurisdiction over here with no honoraries.
Right. So, and the 22 that you've mentioned, are they considered honorary status now?
Oh, yes.
All our
22 are honoraries.
So again, I ask, where do you find
honorary consuls? Now, I contributed
to
the growth. I didn't contribute to the entire growth. I wish I could say that I did, but I certainly didn't. For one, we have two career consuls here. El Salvador, because we have more than 60,000 El Salvadorans living here.
In Las Vegas?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
We have, and also then we have the Mexican consul who is also career.
No surprise there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he's amazing. He's been here now for 5 years.
Who's that individual?
His name is Consul Mariano Lemos.
Okay.
Just, he's incredible, and he works so hard, and we all absolutely love him. So we have two careers, and then, but again, we just had an appointment most recently, like just a month ago, an appointment for Brazil. I had been wanting a Brazilian consul here for a long time. I hosted the Consul General of Brazil about 4 months ago. And every time when I don't have a consul, I'm with them, I take that opportunity and I said, oh, I would love to have an honorary consul of Brazil. And he said, I'm getting you one. Well, I didn't hear from him again. And all of a sudden, boom, we have one. So I can't take responsibility for him.
Why was Brazil so important?
Well, because there's a lot of business and a lot of trade going over on in Brazil. And there's a huge Brazilian community here as well.
Right.
They initiate what's called mobile consulates, and they bring their staff from the consulate in Los Angeles, and I have been assisting them with, they hold their consulates about every 6 months, and we do it in the state building for them. So the Brazilian people can come in, and if they need visas or what other problems they might have with their country and the people
processing
living
them.
Yeah.
Waiting through the bureaucracy.
Right. Then they set that up. Now the Brazilian honorary consul will be able to help them do that. So
I see. So there's that practical application also. You're listening to Our Metropolis. This is John Katzlamitis. Our guest this week is Gail Anderson, the Chief of Diplomatic Relations and Protocol for the Nevada Commission on Economic Development. What are they specifically charged with? What are the consuls? What are we trying to get out of their position exactly, tangibly?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm just going to share with you what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, for these honorary consuls that do not get paid, this is a list of what they do. They issue passports and other documents to citizens of their countries and assist them with citizenship matters. They issue tourist visas to others visiting the country. Now, this does not apply to all of the honoraries, but what they can do as an honorary, they can have, for instance, Italy and the university. There's a lot of students that have to go clear to Los Angeles to get that visa. However, this honorary consul of Italy saves them that extra process of paying for an airfare and having to go up there. So what they do is they come to the honorary consul and they assist them with all the paperwork and they forward it up. So they don't actually issue that visa directly from that office. But they assist visitors, you know, in distress with illnesses, accidents, disaster, or criminal acts by some of the people from their countries.
Okay.
They assist in case of emergency transfer of funds. They assist citizens who are arrested by police or immigration authorities. They arrange for legal representation if appropriate. They arrange for legalization or certify certain documents that they might need. They issue reports of death or accidents. They safeguard citizens' interests in pension, estate, and inheritance matters. They trace missing persons. They facilitate the collection of debts to their government. They locate interpreters or translators if they're not able to, but most of the time, of course, they are. They promote commercial relations and scientific exchanges. They promote exchanges in art, arranging for visiting cultural exhibits and events. Our fairly newly appointed honorary consul of Poland just did an amazing exhibit here, actually, at UNLV. They provide information about their country, and they promote academic and professional exchanges. And they do a lot.
That's one person?
One person.
An unpaid position?
Non-paying position.
Wow. So is it difficult to find an ideal candidate to fill that responsibility?
No. It's not difficult to find that person because what they get out of it, A, they could easily get business if they're a business person looking to do business in that particular country. I have someone now, and I won't name the country because we haven't actually made this happen, but his company is doing some serious business in the country that he wants to represent. And so I'm working diligently on trying to get that appointment. So we've just initiated that process, so it'll be a while yet.
Right.
But that's just a good example of what that
person... How did you initiate the process? Is it simply just by making a phone call to...
You mean to this particular person?
Uh-huh.
No, that person called me, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because what happened after I started initiating this, and then there was a few little articles in the newspaper here and there, I started getting calls.
Hmm.
So it wasn't as difficult to reach out. And then I might add, I get some crazy calls. I get some people that just walk into my office and say, I want to represent a country. And then I, you know, quiz them and say, and what country and what interest? And they say, well, I don't care. I just want any country. Well, that's not...
Just a country at large?
Yeah, off just your list a country at large. And that doesn't work.
Your at-large bids?
Yes. So that doesn't work. We have to have some interest and some
protocol.
Yeah, some protocol involved right. here. That's not that often, but I have had that on occasion.
But you want to take the best of the best,
the
best and the brightest to fulfill these, because these people are representing both sides of the equation.
Exactly. They're representing Nevada and they're mm-hmm. representing
their own
country that they're...
Do they have to be, let me ask you this, because I go back to you, you know, making an offhand comment about me being Greek and possibly representing Greece. What is the criteria for... someone who wants to serve in that role, exactly. I mean, what are you? Is there something stated that they have to be a certain generation removed, or have to have done a certain type of business with that country?
Not necessarily. But you have to have some interest in the country. You have to have some kind of a connection that you could do some business with the country,
mm-hmm.
or that you would be willing to do all of the above that I just stated with that country, but there has to be some connection, some whether it's business or whether even it could be just your ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't always have to be ancestry. It doesn't always have to be that connection.
You had mentioned former Governor Miller
yes.
as the representing Bulgaria,
right.
I think you said.
Uh-huh.
Now he is...
He is importing. He has a business interest because he is importing, I believe it's some type of health juice from the
right.
country to
I've
here.
I've heard him talk mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's his interest.
It's a Bulgarian business.
Right. Now, we also have a former lieutenant governor. We have an amazing...
I would think those who have held statewide office would be fertile ground for you, right? Who have held a lieutenant governor. I mean, anybody who's served in that capacity?
Not necessarily,
or am I wrong about
but
that?
The lieutenant governor, former lieutenant governor Lonnie Hammergren, is the honorary consul of Belize. And when I say that to people, they always say to me, whatever in the world would he have an interest in Belize? But don't forget, he was also a surgeon.
Uh-huh.
And he donated medical equipment to Belize, which is how he became interested in that tiny little country. And so when he finished his tenure as lieutenant governor, he reached out and said, I would be very interested in becoming an honorary consul for Belize. And that is how he became interested in the country. And so...
Mm-hmm. And
he's gone over there. I know. I don't know how much, you know, some do more than others.
Right.
And that's such a tiny country. So
Solani has made trips in this capacity to Belize.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he has. And he's hosted the ambassador from Belize here as well. That's something else they do. If I'm getting an ambassador coming in or a head of state, for instance, we've had the King of Sweden here. We've also had the President of Chile here.
Mm-hmm.
The honorary consul of Chile, of course, was very seriously involved or critically involved with that visit. But most of the time when heads of state come, the Secret Service or their protocol officers always ask for the chief of protocol. So the chief mm-hmm. of protocol goes up into the plane, greets the president or the king or mm-hmm. whoever it might be, and then bring them down and introduce them to our honorary consul. And I might add
This is
my role. This is what I have
so
done.
So you have to make sure that you follow...
My protocol.
Your protocol right. in these instances.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into an instance where you weren't certain if you turned your back on the king?
Well, I have a story. I have a story from Orange County, but I just want to add that the reason the president of Chile was here for one reason, and she flew in on her Air Force One, and she was absolutely delightful. I can't tell you. I've met so many heads of states. She was so wonderful and down to earth. But she came here to see Solar One project out in Boulder City.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so but they were very interested in that,
yeah,
right.
Uh-huh. Very interested uh-huh. in that. Okay, so you want to hear a story?
Yeah, tell me that Orange County story.
Hosting the First Lady of Bolivia in Orange County. That was in Orange County. I haven't had any really faux pas here. Now, this wasn't really faux pas, but it was just, I was very fortunate to come out of it without having a serious faux pas. But what happened was I had introduced her and the wife of the ambassador from Washington, D.C. They were visiting, and I introduced her to all the supervisors in Orange County. They're the highest-ranking government officials in the county, 2.5 million people
okay,
there.
Okay.
So we do that introduction, and then they were going over to visit a hospital because that hospital had reached out to them, and they were donating an ambulance. So she said to me, the first lady, "Gail, would you like to come with us in the limousine?" And I said, "Oh, no, thank you kindly. That's a very generous offer, but I will meet you at the Balboa Bay Club for lunch because everyone is coming for lunch." And I had invited several mayors, people from the different organizations in town. So, and some mayors and some fire department people,
right.
And it was quite a list. Anyway, so I said to my assistant, "You know, let's go over a little bit early because we take flags. That's another whole issue. I own 45 flags, 45 myself and stands." But anyway, so Mary Bell and I headed over to the Balboa Bay Club with the flags. And we walked into the club, and the room that I normally would host dignitaries in was dark, absolutely dark. And she was due, the first lady was due within at least less than 40 minutes.
And dark, this means...
Not prepared
for any event.
And so I asked for the director of catering. Fortunately, he was there, came out, and he said, "What, can I help you?" And I told him who I was, and he said, "Well, you're supposed to be here tomorrow." And I said, "No, here's my paperwork."
Oh.
And he said, "Oh my gosh, you're right. We made a mistake." So he said, "What should I fix you?" And I said, "Anything you want." So we grabbed tablecloths and started putting everything together. Somebody said to me, "The first lady has arrived with her entourage." And so... what happened was I thought, what am I going to do with her? The room is dark, and I can't let her know this faux pas is happening. So she came walking in. The Balboa Bay Club is very famous for John Wayne keeping his boats there, and a lot of celebrities in the years past.
Right.
I wasn't that familiar with the history, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but she came walking in, and there were about four people who had arrived early. So I said, "Form a reception line." They did, and I looked at her and said, "You know, this is a very historical place. Would you like to take a walk outside and look at some of the yachts that are parked in front?" "Oh," she said, "I'd love to." So we went outside, and then I'm in a panic because I know I have to share the history, and I'm not that knowledgeable about when it was so incredible. So I looked up, and I saw the dockmaster, and I said, "Excuse me one moment," and I walked over, and that dockmaster was amazing, and he shared all. I took her over. She said, "Oh, please get the video," and she thought this was almost planned, and I saved the day, but it could have been totally disastrous.
Nice work.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that was a huge
So you bought yourself some important prep time.
Yeah, it was good.
And you got to admonish somebody who couldn't read a calendar. All right, Gail, well, thank you for coming down. We're out of time here.
Okay.
And our guest this week has
thank
been Gail
so much.
Anderson, the Chief of Diplomatic Relations and Protocol for the Nevada Commission on Economic Development. What's the best way to reach your office, Gail?
They can call at 486-2721.
Very good. For all of us at our Metropolis, this is John Katsalamidis reminding you to stay tuned for Observations.
Thank you for joining us for Our Metropolis. Join us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Our Metropolis.